Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. Well, assalamu alaikum Sheikh, and welcome to the program.
Ya alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, thank you for having me.
You're welcome. It's a long time that we have been actually devoting our time, or these series of programs, in fact, specified to some of the jurisprudential laws of miscellaneous nature according to fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khomeini. And let me actually ask you at the beginning of this episode this question. If something that only invalidates wudu occurs during a ghusl,
right?
Will the ghusl also be affected or void?
Well, the ghusl is valid, okay?
Yes.
But it's not okay to pray with that ghusl.
Mm-hmm.
It is necessary to perform wudu for the prayer. Like, for example, if someone performing, let's say, ghusl, urinates in the middle, okay, or let's say he passes wind while performing ghusl, the ghusl is not made void. He can continue doing ghusl and complete it.
These are not the invalidating agents for the ghusl.
Ghusl is not made void. Unless, of course, you, let's say, discharge semen. In that case, of course, you need to repeat the ghusl because you have ejaculated. But the thing is that discharging urine,
mm-hmm,
or passing wind do not invalidate ghusl. And so, of course, ghusl is in order, but you cannot pray with it. And of course, you have to make wudu later on after completing wudu.
Ghusl. Okay. Thank you, Sheikh. Well, is there any problem with the activities of family funds or those of the neighborhoods or colleagues and so on and so forth, you know? They work as follows. Like members, for example, make monthly payments to the fund. Then each month, they receive the money is lent to one of the members by what? Well, or lottery. Is it okay if the fund manager stipulates that he should receive the first loan without drawing a lot?
Well, this is what we see in, of course, in even in our country. Ladies, pool their money and then they give it to one person and making a lot, I see.
Yes, as a fund keeper.
Yeah, that's okay. There is no problem with the activities of the these people, okay? Some people, of course, give the power of attorney to a person in order to receive payments from the members in each month, pay it to one of them by lot. This is a proper arrangement, and there's no objection to this arrangement according to Islamic Sharia. And also, there's no problem if the fund manager, who is represented by the members, stipulates that he should receive the first loan because he's actually in charge of collecting the money,
mm-hmm,
making phone calls, drawing the lot, and he is the person responsible.
Yes.
So if he stipulates and says that, okay, I will be the first person to take the loan, there's no objection to it.
I see. Well, thank you very much, Sheikh. Let's take a short break and then we'll be back and continue our program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. Don't go away.
The followers of Ayatollah Khomeini can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khomeini's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Allah, yeah, Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah, yeah, Allah, oh Allah, don't don't let me go astray, 'cause I need you.
Welcome back to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Shatoid, our guest speaker. We're still talking about some of the jurisprudential laws of miscellaneous nature based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. Shatoid, you know, somebody asked, we have set up a Qarzul Hasana fund, a sort of, you know, installment fund or family fund among our fellow workers. Every month, one member receives the collected money by lots. After the fifth month, with the consent of all members, each person pays an extra amount so that the next persons for whom it takes longer to get it receive a larger amount, and so on. Is it considered a case of riba?
Or well, according to His Eminence, Grand Ayatollah Khamenei, there is no problem if the extra amount is not more than the inflation.
Mm-hmm.
And is paid by those who have already received the loan. So His Eminence, Grand Ayatollah Khamenei, says this is not considered to be riba, it is permissible.
I see. Well, is it permissible, Sheikh, to buy goods, you know, buy installments for a price that is higher than the its value price or cash price? And does this amount to usury or riba?
Yes, some people keep wondering as to whether it's permissible or not. And of course, in Western countries, people buy things like cars, you know, houses by getting funds from the banks. And there's no other way to buy a house like this. A house is a good example to give. Now, this arrangement is you see, permissible in itself. There's no objection to selling and buying goods by installments, okay? Because the general public, they are very, some of them are poor and they cannot buy by giving cash to the seller.
But
so installments is are possible for more ESE, even though the price is higher, because the whole price is not paid at once. It takes about maybe months, if not years, to pay the installments.
So it's not considered
usury? It's not considered riba. And the religious authorities, all the religious authorities allow this kind of transactions.
Mm-hmm. I see.
And including His Eminence, Grand Ayatollah Khamenei, he has explicitly stated that it is not riba.
Mm. If someone who performs wudu opens and closes the faucet or tap, while washing his hands and face with the intent of wuzu, well, what is the ruling concerning this act?
Well, there's no problem in doing so, and it does not harm the validity of the wuzu because, yes, he turns on and off the tap during wuzu, and there's no objection to him doing so.
Okay, thank you very much, Sheikh. Let's take a short break, and then we'll be back and continue our program, Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. Stay tuned, please.
Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina Muhammadin wa Ali.
Welcome back to the program, Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio, with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Shatoid, our guest speaker. We are still talking about or delving into some of the jurisprudential laws of miscellaneous nature, according to fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei, with you, Sheikh Javid. And let me ask you, you know, right away after this break, you know, there are a number of times that we have seen some people actually during the wudu, when they are performing the wudu, and especially right in the middle of it, like halfway through, for example, they are doing the math of their head, and then they also touch the faucet or tap, or they open and close it, you know, and sometimes it's all wet again, and then they continue their wudu. Is that correct, ritually speaking?
Well, this is a mistake made by many people, I say. Because they don't know the rules of Sharia, so they are not to blame, actually. Mm-hmm. I would say that it is not permissible to touch the faucet or the tap when it is wet. You have, for example, pulled your your hands on the front of your head, and you have done the masa or the wiping, and now you are you have to do the wiping of your feet. You have touched the tap, which is wet. Of course, you cannot wipe your feet with the moisture taken from the tap. It's not permissible. But okay, if there is one or two fingers left which did not touch the tap, you can wipe your feet with those fingers. Okay, and your prayer is valid. But if all the fingers came into contact with the tap, and the moisture was taken from it after you wiped your the forehead, the wudu is not valid because you cannot wipe the feet with the moisture taken from the tap directly. Yes, that is the point. And many people I have seen myself, and I've reminded them of this error, that it's not correct to make a wudu like this. Yeah, they have to to improve their knowledge and understanding of the Sharia laws.
What if there isn't enough moisture on your hand after wiping your head or doing the mass of the head?
Of course, if there's...
And then you can't continue with the the wiping of the feet. So what can you do in that regard?
The only solution given by the religious authorities is that you have to take moisture from your bed or maybe from your face.
Or from the arms, maybe?
Not arms. Yeah, from your face and the beard, if you have, because sometimes the water is, you have moisture in the beard, you can take it from there.
Okay, and as last question, I may squeeze in here. If after wudu or ghusl, one sees an obstacle on the body parts washed or wiped for wudu or ghusl, what is our duty?
The obstacle during wudu or after, I just need to know the answer, you know, the question.
What if both happens, like during wudu or after it?
Okay, if you do not know whether it existed during wudu or ghusl, of course.
They are not affected?
It's very much likely that the obstacle was created or came into being after you completed your wudu or ghusl. Okay, your wudu your prayer is valid. Okay, because you make wudu for prayer, and your ghusl is also prayer. Otherwise, ghusl by and of itself is not obligatory. There are certain reasons why you make ghusl and you perform ghusl. So His Eminence Grand Ayatollah Khamenei is of the view that the recommended prayers can be recited while walking. But this is something different, okay? I'd rather not touch on this.
I see. Thank you very much, Sheikh. And thank you, my dear listeners, for joining your own program, Islamic Laws, on IRIB English Radio, in which we try to deal with some of the jurisprudential laws of miscellaneous nature according to the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. And from me, Muhammad Jawad, the host of this program, Sheikh Javid, the guest speaker, and the rest of the crew, we bid you farewell. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
محيي مميت أبطال